time now to talk to Amanda Price, Representative Amanda Price. Good morning, Amanda.
Morning, Duke. How are you?
Very good, and she is here to take your calls and answer your questions, and if you have the same, give us a call, 395-1450. Meanwhile, let's hear your take on the governor's state of the state.
Well, you know, it started out by reviewing the last 3 years and what he came into as he took office, and then the improvements, I think, that he's made. So started off with a large budget deficit, and that was taken care of very quickly. Turned the state around, eliminated the job-killing Michigan business tax, put in the corporate income tax, looked at regulations far and wide across all the state departments, and has worked very diligently to eliminate a lot of those. And then started focusing on things that we need to continue our focus on for the state. And he started talking about possible additional funding for education. One of his areas of commitment is early childhood, which I'm a big proponent of. So he's looking to put another $65 million into early childhood this year. He started talking about an Office of New Americans, and what he hopes to do that is with that is to attract legal immigrants to the state, so that we can have an influx of folks who were going to start new businesses and bring new technologies to the state. So that was interesting and not expected. So I thought that was a really important point. He talked a lot about the work that we've done already together, but also really interesting point is he said to us that, you know, we work together on a lot of things, but sometimes we leave him out of some of the discussion, and he wants to be a proponent of the National Balanced Budget Amendment, which is helpful for all of us at the local level as local representatives who think, you know, we've done that in Michigan now. We have a budget balanced budget. We've done that for 3 years, and that should be an example that the federal government should follow as well.
So, what power does the state have, though, to urge the federal government to do that other than a resolution?
Resolutions can be done, but there can also be a groundswell of support for this and take it to the national level and put it in place that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he's on board with that is just helpful in that overall discussion.
Mm-hmm. I think we have a call coming in. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yeah, hi, Amanda.
Hi.
Did you come out with a bill for legislation that said that a kid should be able to read or something when they get out of the third grade?
Right, I did.
Well, I listened to Brian Davis on Duke Show. You know, you probably know who he is, right?
I do.
And he said that the reason he didn't like that idea was because the kids that were heading into school couldn't write or read or even speak English. And I'm thinking, well, don't the parents have any responsibility at all to teach their kid how to write their name or even do the ABCs?
Yeah, well, you know, I think when Brian says he had some opposition to my bill, I think he was talking about the very first phase of that bill. We introduced it, and it was just said if you couldn't read by the end of third grade, you were going to be retained.
I agree with that.
I did too. But then a week later, we amended that bill to give some kids some special exemptions if they were not English language learners. And so I think that would take in account some of Brian's concerns. It also, the bill was amended to allow for a student, if they parent really thought they were, the testing didn't say they were proficient, but a parent thought they were proficient, they could take a different kind of test, or they could have a student portfolio that would say, you know, I've exhibited proficiency in another way. So
that's too many options. Yeah. I mean, if the kid can't write his name, then how can he get going to even first grade?
Yeah, you know,
why would they just keep passing the buck?
I would agree. There is a state law in place right now that says if a child is not reading in fourth grade, the school district has to, by the end of fourth grade, get them up to that fourth grade reading level. So I'm not sure what the enforcement mechanism for that is, but some of these kids are still not reading into fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh grade. So
that's terrible.
I agree.
I agree with third grade. I don't know. How old are they in third grade?
Eight. Yep.
Well, that's time to stop them from moving on.
I agree. And it's, you know, we have statistics that says about 32% of our kids are not reading.
Mm.
I know, that's terrible.
At that grade level.
Can I take up a little more time, Juke?
Yeah, what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about Amanda's with Park Township area, right?
Yes.
How many pets are people allowed to have in Park Township? Is it three or five?
Oh, goodness. You're testing my memory now. I am not quite sure.
See, because I had a neighbor with five chihuahuas, and I'm on the south side of the lake, and the houses are pretty close over here.
Uh-huh.
It was insane. So the police officer comes over and says, the dogs were inside the house. But you could still, I mean, the guy had his windows open. It was summertime. You couldn't do anything. So he says, there's nothing he could do because he believed Park Township had a five pet rule.
Hmm. Well,
I'd like to see that changed.
you can call the township and check. But my memory doesn't go back that far, so
that's
I apologize. Right.
You got more important things to do.
Okay, thank you.
All right, talk to you later.
Okay, we had someone else calling in, but they are no longer with us. 395-1450, if you'd like to call and talk to Amanda this morning. Our line is open, and let's go on to the budget.
Yeah, the governor make his budget announcement this week. And so we will hear, you know, how he wants to lay out the next fiscal year. And so that'll be interesting. You know, people often ask our reaction to what the governor's budget is. And I always, I'm not one to immediately react to it because the budget is a long-term negotiation.
Yeah.
And while he might propose this, the Senate will say that, the House will say this, and we all come to a compromise. And so I'll be interested to see where his priorities lay. I would suspect more funding. His priority might be some more funding for education, some road funding,
mm-hmm.
but we'll see.
Everybody's got a way of spending the surplus.
Everybody always does, yeah. And if one person could raise their hand and say, I would like it, I'm sure we all would in some fashion. But, again, it's the art of compromise through this whole process. And it's not necessarily compromising on where people want money to go. It's on where we need to spend the money.
Right. Obviously, highways is one of the things.
Yeah, that over and over again, people are just frustrated with the roads. And we will see that as, especially this really rough winter. Thaws as. Oh, I'm always already juddering through potholes, and you know there's still snow on the road. So we will see what the spring holds.
All right. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yes. Good morning. If there's a surplus in the state monies, I think it ought to go to the roads like you did it this year, and not go through all the bureaucracy. Let's get it direct and have accountability with it and get the job done.
Mm-hmm. I like the way we use some of the general fund monies this year for road funding.
Yes,
and hopefully we can have that option to do that this year. We do have to be careful that we meet the federal government match for road funding, and so that's part of the discussion as well.
Okay, all right. But anyway, that's the way I think it's where some of it should go.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right, 395-1450, our number here on Talk of the Town. And the budget, of course, what do we have, a deadline of that about June 1st?
Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying for the last 3 years, to get that done before June 1st so that schools, local governments know what...
So they can do their budget.
Right, especially schools.
We
were getting to the point where schools were already in their school year and changing the budget on them.
Right. And I well remember that.
Yeah, it's nice to think that in 3 years' time the expectations change that much. Part of the discussion of the budget also then brings up a discussion about tax policy, and there's been a few tax bills introduced in the Senate and the House about rolling back the income tax rate. And or the governor has also somewhat mentioned maybe a tax rebate to citizens. So it'd be nice to hear from people on the radio what they prefer. What I'm hearing from people is if we're going to get a $25 rebate or $50 rebate or something like that, I'd rather money be going towards roads.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd just like to hear some feedback from your listeners on that.
Yeah. Well, I remember the time when we didn't have any state income tax.
Hmm.
And I also remember the time when the tax, sales tax was, I think it was 3 cents for a long time.
I can remember 4 cents.
4 cents, yeah.
Yeah.
So, of course, it's always additional tax, it seems like.
Yeah.
I don't know. What would you think about rolling the tax, the income tax, back?
I think it's it's taxpayers' money. I think it's a good idea. We really need to be aware that state government, while the recession and revenue sharings really impacted the local units of government, I'm not sure to the extent that it's impacted state government. And so we really need to roll back what state government is doing, too. And if that's the mechanism by which to do that, I'd be all in favor of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're at 395-1450 here, and we'll take a moment out for a word and be right back with our guest. And if you'd like...
Interhome can promise your family, hometown, heartfelt service that exceeds your expectations, not your budget. It's a promise we've kept for over 100 years.
And we are here with Representative Amanda Price this morning. If you have a question, 395-1450. Our line is open. And let's talk a little bit about what's going on in committees that you're on.
Yeah, so on Energy Committee.
Got a call. Let's take that call first. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Hello. As far as that extra money in the Michigan account, leave it alone. I say, why do we got to spend it? That seems to be like the culture nowadays with everything and every resident. If you got money in the bank, spend it. Leave it alone. Let it build up. Do what we absolutely have to. They say our roads are really terrible. I'm driving these roads. They're not really that bad. Sure, they're bad. Fix the ones that are really terrible, but let's not spend all that money on just roads. You know, just let's just hang on to it and use it when we really need it. That's my take on this.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Just wanted to mention, too, that, you know, the money won't come completely back. We've got a governor who is a CPA who has prided himself on building up our rainy day fund from $6 million to about $600 million now. And so there's no way that that's going to happen because he foresees what we need to do as a state. We do have a lot of long-term liabilities that, while we have addressed some of them, we haven't addressed all of them, and we need to keep that rainy day fund cushion there as well. So I agree with the caller that we need to be fiscally responsible with these dollars. But so...
Let's show Washington how it's done.
That's right. So back to Energy Committee. First week we were back, we took testimony on the Christmas storm and the consumers and DTE response to a lot of the outages. Fortunately, we didn't have as many outages on this side of the state as other parts of the state, but it we took testimony also on the impact on the Lansing area with their Board of Light and Power, I think. I'm not sure what their acronym is, but some of Lansing customers were hit. About 40% of their customers were without power.
Yeah, that's right.
And unfortunately, some of their response times and responses were not very good. Consumers, on the other hand, was quite excellent in what they did and how they responded and kept people informed. So there were a lot of learning lessons in, through that process. Still, my in-laws live in Lansing, and so I saw the effects of the storm on their house. They were out without power for a couple of days, without phone for a whole week. Trees all over the place are down.
Yeah.
And
that's usually what caused the power outage, is limbs falling across the wires.
Yeah, and I know from my time in Park Township, when we had power outages, consumers would come in and tell us that, in general, power is out 30% of the time because of down tree limbs. But in Park Township, it was about 50% of the time because we hadn't instituted a very good tree trimming policy. So when we had the tree trimming a few years ago, that really helped, I think, a lot of the power outages. So that's what happened in a lot of the state, and especially in the Lansing area.
Okay, got a call here. Good morning. You're online with our guest. Hello? Do we have someone on? I guess we don't have anybody there. Okay. So, my sister-in-law, who also lives in Lansing, said that she had some of the neighbors come over to stay with her because she had the power. She didn't have any limbs down, anything like that. And they did at their house, and they had no power.
Yeah, I heard stories of neighbors having power lines across the road and piling branches on either side of the power line so people don't drive across them.
Yeah.
But it was, a week before some of the service was restored.
It was pretty bad.
It was.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Good morning. A couple things. I would like to have the money stay where it is in a rainy day fund, or it is the taxpayers' money. It should go back to them. And also, I would love to see Amanda pursue the voucher system for education. I will hang up and listen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comment on the budget surplus. I appreciate that. Voucher system, I'll have to think about that. We did have a ballot proposal on
that. That's right,
and
we did.
And it was decided by the voters. I'm not even sure how long ago it was. More than 10 years ago, I believe.
Yeah.
And so if that does come forward again, we'll have to think about that.
Yeah.
Because of that vote we had earlier.
And how it affects public schools and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. We have taken many steps to open the opportunities for parents and children in Michigan with charter schools, online learning. And so there are options there. I understand that the caller is probably asking for tax dollars to be used in parochial or non-public schools. So I have to think about that as we go forward.
Okay. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yes. I'm looking for someone to shovel off the roofs of my house.
I don't have those numbers with me this morning, so I can't help you out. We have Representative Amanda Price on, and I don't think she has an answer either this morning.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I
thought this was talk of the town.
It is, but we have a guest on right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just be careful and don't do it yourself.
Yeah.
Trust me, I won't. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. All right. Do we have another call coming in, I believe? Good morning. You're online with Amanda. Yes.
Yeah, two questions for Amanda. One, earlier you talked about holding kids back who can't, at third grade level, who can't pass a reading test. Have you seen any studies that show that holding kids back helps them in their future? That's number one question. Number two, there's been a lot of talk about evaluating schools and teachers. Would you allow teachers to come and evaluate the Michigan State
the legislature?
Yeah, legislature. Get the word out. Thank you.
Well, first on your first question, there are a number of studies that show retaining kids is not good for them. However, there are a few new studies that show that kids that have been retained and have come to proficiency feel better about where they are in their learning process. So I understand that concern of parents. I want to point out that the bill that I have, while it retains kids, if they're not proficient in third grade, there is another bill that is tie-barred or works hand in glove with my bill that has the kids starting in kindergarten assessed, and if they're not at grade level, given some interventions to help them get to grade level. So that would be in kindergarten, first, second, third grade. Sorry about that. So kindergarten, first, second, and third grade, they'd be assessed and given interventions so that by the time they get up to that third grade, they will have been given more concerted attention, and hopefully those deficiencies are fixed. And there would be no need for a child to be retained. And that's the hope of my bill and Representative Stallworth's bill that work together, that we are really putting a lot of focus on those early years and getting kids reading as early as kindergarten. And I know a lot of kids already read before kindergarten. So get those kids up to grade level, and there would be no need to have them retained after third grade.
Okay.
And so to your other question about evaluating legislators, I think in some ways we do that every 2 years.
That's right, we do. We vote yes or no. Good morning, you're online with our guest.
Yeah, good morning. I guess I'd like to have Amanda speak about the mentally ill people. What education could be done in the state to help parents bring up proper children, bring up their children in a proper way, and what to do about this mentally ill issue. And I'll listen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, your question has a lot of different aspects to it. So raising children in a healthy environment is one thing. Mental illness, I think, is a completely different area. Folks believe that there are some chemical and psychological issues with mental illness, and I would have to agree with that. So I'm not sure how to answer that question. I do think there needs to be a much greater focus on mental illness in the state of Michigan. We don't equate, mental illness as some sort of a side health aspect of our lives, and it's very integral to our overall functioning as people. So you have your health, your personal health that we're all supportive of, but mental health issues are as equally important in some people's lives, and so we don't put enough attention into that.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yeah, Amanda, I called earlier about the fund, but I'm on a delayed listening device, but I heard about the third grade education program that you're trying to push, and I think it's going to upset a lot of people and probably you, but I think you're all kind of whacked out on this. In 20 years, you probably, the politicians, if they go with this, are going to start asking these third graders to be able to balance their own bank account, which the U.S. government can't even do. These are third graders, and it's not the children. I think it's the educators and the parents that need to be educated to educate these children. It's not the children that are lacking. It's the educators.
Okay. Well, I'll let you know a couple of things. Florida has, for instance, put a similar law into place like this for the children that were the lowest performing, lowest performing students on their reading tests. Once they did it, their reading levels went up dramatically for that lowest group of kids. So it does. It's a line in the sand. It's kind of a scare tactic, if you will, but it does help parents and educators and children know that this is really important, because what we find when we look at third graders, if you're not reading by third grade, your levels of high school graduation are much lower. I think 1 in 4 to 1 in 6%, not percent, 1 in 6 kids are not graduating from high school if they're not reading by third grade. So I understand your comment, but it's such a foundational aspect of your education that you need to have it in place. If you don't know how to read by the time you're in third grade, from then on you have to read to learn.
Struggle.
Right.
Right. And well, I guess we're out of time this morning. I thank you so much, very much for being our guest this morning here on Talk of the Town.
Thank you.